The Zoo of Extinct Animals, written by Catherine Follett and Russ Bouillac, illustrated by Jeremy Norton. Focus question. How does Hazel's summer internship experience change her? Hazel couldn't believe it. She was standing in front of a real woolly mammoth. Its tusks sliced through the air, and the trunk snaked toward Hazel's face. She yelped and stumbled back. "Don't worry," Jim said. "Eve is just curious." Jim was the head animal keeper and Hazel's new boss. "Eve," Hazel whispered to herself, just to be sure she was hearing things correctly and not dreaming. Until this moment, she had been skeptical of this summer internship. Not 2 hours before, she had been in the administration building at the edge of the massive Wyoming compound, signing a ridiculous stack of papers as a no-nonsense man in a fitted suit, explained all the legal ramifications of working beyond the gates she could see out his window. "So I'm basically signing my life away?" Hazel asked, half-joking, as the man took her phone. "The Buckland Rare Animal Research Center is extremely protective of its proprietary property, as it should be," the man said. "We reserve the right to monitor all communications in and out of the compound, and the non-disclosure agreement you're signing now extends in perpetuity. The consequences for violating said agreement are severe." "I guess I'd better learn to keep a secret," Hazel said. The man flashed an insincere smile. What secrets could they really have? The website made the place look like a fairly normal research zoo. Granted, it had the world's largest collection of endangered species, and it did say they were performing cutting-edge genetic and reproductive research. Still, all this legal mumbo-jumbo seemed a bit much. Now, standing before Eve as her trunk investigated Hazel's sneakers, she thought she understood. Jim reached through the bars and scratched the huge creature on the cheek. It rumbled like a giant cat. Eve's fur was longer and thicker than Hazel would ever have imagined, forming a fluttering skirt below the mammoth's belly, and it smelled healthy and good, like a dog that's been jumping in leaves. Hazel found forming a complete thought difficult. "Siberia, I think," Jim said. "The original specimen's genes came from there, at least. It took many years and more money than you or I could ever dream of, but Dr. Z and her team finally found a way to bring the species back, at least a couple specimens. The male is out having a checkup. I'm sure you can guess his name." "She's beautiful," Hazel whispered. Jim smiled. "She's just the first stop." Hazel spent the rest of the day in a haze of wonder as Jim took her throughout the complex to each of the carefully maintained animal enclosures inside the incredible warehouses. The megatheriums had their own copse of trees and a pond to laze about in. Jim explained how the Thylacinus habitat had been designed to mimic a particular area in Tasmania, even to the specific climate. At the Moa habitat, Malcolm, the other intern, joined them. He kept his hands in his pockets and jumped up and down with excitement as he squeaked, "Dinornis robustus! Dinornis robustus!" over and over, mimicking the 12-foot bird's calls. He was weird. Hazel liked him already. That night, Hazel relaxed in the common area of the employee dormitory. She didn't realize Malcolm had come in until he spoke. "This place is really something, eh?"
"It is. I still can't really believe it."
"So what's your theory?" Malcolm casually folded his arms on the table and, not so casually, knocked a stack of papers to the floor. Hazel tried not to laugh. On what? Discovering how to revive extinct animals is a scientific game changer akin to the invention of the microscope, or microchip, or some other micro thing. We're talking Nobel prizes, professorships, faces on magazine covers, the works. Why is Dr. Z so coy about it? The question had crossed Hazel's mind, too. Someone must know. Otherwise, where's the money coming from? The cost of maintaining this place must be astronomical. Malcolm touched his finger to his nose, then pointed at Hazel. You've hit the nail on the board, or the head of the nail, or something. I guess I messed up that metaphor, but something fishy is going on here. Malcolm seemed like a regular conspiracy theorist. It wouldn't have surprised her to find out he thought aliens really landed in Area 51. Do you aim to find out what it is? She asked. She found it amusing to egg him on. If this were a movie, absolutely, Malcolm said. But since this is real life, I'll consign myself to simply doing my job, for now. Besides, a lifetime of keeping my mouth shut seems an easier debt to handle than the crippling student loans of college and beyond. What do you want to study when you go to college anyway? He asked. Paleontology or zoology, Hazel said. After what I saw today, I'd opt for the latter. The next few weeks were a blur of activity. As the resident interns, Hazel and Malcolm were given every job anyone else didn't want to do, shoveling poop and cleaning enclosures, fetching equipment for different people. Some of the staff even started referring to them as gophers because they were always being asked to go for one thing or another. Occasionally, the staff assigned them other tasks, such as counting the number of golden-toed tadpoles produced from the 6 breeding pairs in the amphibian habitat, something they quickly realized was an exercise in futility. In spite of all this, Hazel was giddy. She loved working around these amazing animals, learning how they behaved, seeing how they interacted with their environments. She especially loved visiting Eve, as the mammoth seemed to recognize her. Eve would reach out her trunk and inspect Hazel's pocket.